When you need to sneeze, if you look at light, does it make you sneeze?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's Election Day!
Yay!
Celebrate democracy by listening to this episode and talking shit about the other guy.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
I voted.
And Molly Glover.
I will vote.
And we are going to talk about presidential elections in the United States.
Oh, it's Election Day.
We're going to talk about this election.
It's Election Day.
It's our election special.
Is today the Election Day?
Yeah.
That's exciting. Yeah. Oh, well, so I guess I probably already voted by the time people are listening to this, because I have to get up super early to do it.
That's I will awesome. Have already voted, mm-hmm. because I just vote early.
Well, you had your absentee ballot, but you haven't filled it out yet.
I know, but...
Is there a deadline?
I checked on that today. I'm actually just going to go down to the city center and vote early.
See, it's an early voting. We're in early voting state, but I like to actually go and vote.
I like voting on the day, too, but I hate having to vote in the churchstrosity.
I know. You guys
so
have
it's a real, it's a real tug,
We vote in a school near home, so, you know, I don't have to worry about voting in a church.
Maybe I'll wear my Geeks Without God shirt to vote, and then I'll post a picture of that.
Maybe.
Suck on that, Christian democracy, or not democracy. That's the one I'm looking for, supremacy.
Privilege. There we go.
Oligarchy.
Today's election is mostly, I mean, everyone's pretty concerned about the presidential election, naturally. That,
or as we like to call it, dumpster fire 2016.
Yeah, well, that's what everyone pays attention to. That's what gets the most media attention. It's not like every 2 years the media freaks out about congressional elections.
A little tiny bit, but not very much, because there's so many Congress people up for election every 2 years.
Well, and this isn't just, I mean, the presidential election's a big deal, but also there's a really good chance the Senate can flip this time around too. So, by which I mean flip from Republican to Democrat. We do have listeners from other countries, I know, so make sure that they understand what's going on here. But
you folks that live in places that don't have a two-party system.
Are there democratic places that don't have just two parties, really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, even though...
They don't just have two main parties that are really
They have two major parties, which are Labor and... is it the Conservative Party? Anyway, somebody from England can correct me
Tories.
On that. They have two major parties, but they have a ton of minor parties. So, typically... After the election, there has to be a coalition of parties formed in order, because you have to have a majority. At least that's my understanding of how parliamentary politics work.
Because they elect the people that just picks the person.
Right. Yeah. So people vote for Labour or Conservative, and then the Labour Party picks the representatives that are going to Parliament based on the number of representatives that they get. So that's parliamentary democracy. And, I mean... You know, my personal thing is, we all talk about how great it would be to have more than two parties in our country, and it's like, I don't know that our system, the way it's set up, will allow for more than two parties.
Yeah, what we really need is an alternative voting solution, something akin to instant runoff. There are better options than IRV, but there's a really great video, actually, that explains why voting is a problem the way it is now, and how instant runoff is better, and how there are even better options than that as far as representing people and having a minority voice heard still, that uses animals. It's like a YouTube video. If you do like instant runoff voting explained, it's really great. And maybe anyone who is either ethically inclined to vote a protest vote or bad at statistics... or just doesn't understand and is going to vote third party this year, should check that out.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, voting third party is absolutely your call. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with voting third party if you genuinely believe that that person is your best choice for president.
I disagree. I mean, I think that there's a larger... There's I think if you're letting something happen... Okay, so the way our election works is first past the post, right?
Right.
So... In this election, there is zero chance that a third-party candidate will win.
Yeah, because of the Electoral College, it's literally impossible.
It's literally impossible.
Yep.
So if you're voting for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein because Bernie Sanders wasn't chosen as the Democratic candidate and you don't want to support Hillary Clinton for some reason, you are effectively not contributing to defeat Trump.
Right.
Directly.
And I mean... It's kind of interesting. You know, we're a week before the election. If we'd recorded this a week earlier, it was looking like Hillary had no problem.
Yeah.
Right now, because of this stupid fucking email thing.
Oh, the email lie?
The non-issue. Suddenly Hillary is fading. And it's like, is she going to pick up in the next week and win? My guess is probably yes.
Oh, my God.
But I just, you know, it's like, well, I have the choice between this weird nebulous email thing that nobody fucking understands.
Yeah.
And unless you look at it and then you understand it and you're like, oh, it doesn't mean anything at all. It's useless. Right. It's pointless. Yeah. It's not important. Or I want to vote for the dude who's a sexual predator.
Yeah, no, a gleeful and self-admitted sexual predator who will be going on trial for child rape charges in December.
Unless he's elected, in which case he might be...
No, you still... Any crimes... I'm pretty sure... I guess I should look that up.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure any crimes that you commit that you are being tried for, that you are charged with, because that's how you go to court. You're charged with a crime.
Yeah.
I don't think they get wiped away because you get made president. But I could be wrong.
But if you want to take the president to trial, that's...
And I mean,
then you have to impeach them.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you know that we're fairly liberal, the three of us. None of us are pro-Trump. I think all three of us, we could fairly say, are militantly anti-Trump?
I don't know any people who are pro-Trump. The one person I apparently know, I know by sight from Renaissance Festival, and I won't really want to talk to him anymore, I'll tell you that. Like, it is, I don't know anybody otherwise, as far as I know, who or at least who will admit it, that I call friend. There are people I know, obviously, but nobody that I call friend.
Yeah, I know a few, but...
I casually, like acquaintancy, as far as, I don't know, it's like Hillary Clinton was never my choice.
Nope.
And I'm not super enthusiastic about her. I am super enthusiastic about not having Trump as a president, which means I'm voting for Hillary Clinton.
Well, and more to the point, like I've had people say, oh, so voting, just to vote against someone isn't the same as voting for someone. I'm like, well, I disagree because I'm not voting for Hillary Clinton. I'm voting for the Democratic platform, which to me at this point is the best. It aligns with my views 98% according to several, you know, test things you can take. It is the only platform that supports everything I believe in and doesn't support things like Jill Stein is very pro-woo, which I am
It's like, I love the Green Party's environmental stance, but
I don't.
The problem, well, parts of it, but the problem is that it goes into the anti-GMO stuff, which is anti-science.
And the, we don't know if Wi-Fi gives you cancer yet.
Yeah.
Shit, man. She says.
Did you see the Jill Stein AMA she did on Reddit?
I didn't look at all of it. I mean,
2,500 plus upvotes on the person saying, like, so what's the deal with you thinking Wi-Fi gives someone cancer? Come on now. And she responded, and it was basically like, well, other countries are looking into this, and this could be a problem, and we don't know.
We just don't have all the facts.
It's basically fear-mongering. Like,
we don't have all the facts is, like, my least favorite. Well,
I'm just asking questions.
I
mean, it's the same thing Donald Trump says. Yep. I mean, it's the same Trump tactic.
It's the same thing.
Is Jill Stein a pedophile? We don't know. I'm just asking questions. I don't have all the facts.
Until we know, we should just assume that maybe she is.
Yeah.
We should look into it.
We should look into it.
The only other major party candidate we've got is Gary Johnson, and I'm not a libertarian. I'm far more socialist. I mean, I'm a hybrid socialist. Yep. I don't want pure socialism, libertarianism is super anti-socialism, and I can't be that, and I can't go there.
His vice presidential pick is an odious human being, like, who has, like, some pretty crazy thoughts about shit, and Like, I don't trust. I also, Gary Johnson's anti-abortion.
Yeah.
He's not like qualified to
and
be like, president.
And yeah, well, yeah, there's that too. But I mean, the only person, literally the only person who's qualified to be president is Hillary Clinton out of these four fucking candidates.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we've got a doctor with no political experience, a businessman with no political experience, a fucking celebrity who's a failed businessman.
Gary Johnson's been a governor.
Well, okay. He was a governor.
Which is...
A governor. He was a governor still, in New Mexico, right?
I mean, a governor.
Yeah, and I used to live in New Mexico, and that ain't that hard.
I was going
to
say, everybody I know who lived in New Mexico then thinks he's, like, the devil.
Terrible.
So.
Yeah.
I didn't live in New Mexico.
Other politicians in that state have said that he was not a good governor, a good politician. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, love or hate that.
And I mean, we have friends who are libertarians, and if I have a friend who's a libertarian, who's voting libertarian, I guess, you know, whatever. You know, that's fine. But, you know, I have looked at all the other candidates, and it's like, I preferred Sanders. Sanders was mm-hmm. one of the few candidates that I've been like, I can get behind him, not even 100%, maybe 90%.
But personally and politically, like, he was, yep, absolutely.
And so it's hard because there were a lot of people that felt that way.
Yeah. But when the person that you feel that way about, that you believe in, and that you think is the smartest and most qualified person says, listen, vote for her. I'm voting for her. You should vote for her. You know who I think most falls in line with what I said and what I believe? Her. Vote for her. And people go, fuck her. Ew. I don't like her. I don't trust her.
What upsets me more is that people go, fuck Bernie Sanders. He's sold out.
Yeah.
That bothers me because Bernie Sanders, when he was running, was like, if I don't get the nomination, I'm going to endorse Hillary Clinton.
I don't trust...
He kept his promise.
I don't trust Hillary Clinton. I don't trust politicians.
Right.
I don't trust anybody whose job it is to, like, you know, I don't know. I don't trust Obama. And I love him. I thought I voted for him twice. He's a great guy. But I didn't trust him because his job is to make war on other countries, kind of.
Well, yeah, a politician's job is to weigh all the options and come up with the least bad option.
And the thing is, like, oh, I don't trust them. It's like, well, they don't they have access to all kinds of fucking information that you can't even dream of. So, you know, like, you don't trust them because you don't think the things they choose to do are right in the moment. And yet you have no political experience and you've probably never even been on student council, but you feel like you know what's what and you would do it differently.
You know better than, you know exactly what they're doing.
It just makes me crazy.
Armchair politicians.
Yep.
I think the thing about the Bernie revolution, I wrote something about this and I'll try and remember to link to it in the show notes, because it was like, what really bugs me, and the thing about this presidential election is Bernie got a lot of people involved,
mm-hmm.
and that was great. But what's going to happen? I mean, because this is what happens whenever there's somebody who, like, ignites passion, is if that person doesn't get the nomination,
mm-hmm.
then everybody's like, fuck it, the system's rigged. It's like, well, the system's rigged because you don't show up the next time.
Well, the same thing with the third party people who are like, well, if we all voted third party, we wouldn't be stuck in this mess. It's like, okay, so try getting some fucking viable third party candidates to have political experience from the bottom up. Get me a third party candidate who has been mayor, been governor, been a senator, you know, and
The majority of the, Crystal? Crystal's a suburb of Minneapolis, like mm-hmm. a north west suburb, I think.
Yeah.
The majority of Crystal's city council is libertarian.
See?
And it's affecting how they're budgeting the city. And it's good. It's an experiment. Or not. I mean, it's been done before. But, I mean, the way they're doing it, the way they're governing, the way they're changing things is small government and baby steps. And that's how you do it.
It might work well and it might not, but at least, you know, you've got to start there. And if you're like, I think the Democratic Party needs to be more like Bernie Sanders, which is more unapologetically liberal,
mm-hmm.
and all those things, like, I agree. But, you know, like in Minnesota, you know, I don't want to point the finger at anybody else. I always want to go to my caucus every mm-hmm. year, and I typically get there every presidential year.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't you don't change anything about how the Democratic Party operates until you show up at your Democrat, if you're in a caucus state. You don't change anything about how the party operates unless you show up at every caucus, especially the caucuses in off years, which is where people actually get appointed to be precinct chairs and delegates and start moving up in the party because they're actually spending the time.
Yeah.
And so if you're like, well, I'm a Bernie bro and I want to see the Democratic Party be more like Bernie Sanders, and you don't show up to a caucus next year, you don't show up and work time in your party, then it's never going to happen.
Well, even more so, we need Gen X and millennial candidates for president at this point. I mean, there are millennials. Well, there are millennials who are old enough to run for president. You'd be 35.
Yeah, I suppose.
So there are, and by next election, there'll be more of them.
Yep.
So like the fact that our choices are between someone who's 69 and 70, or whatever the hell it is. Trump's what? Is he 70?
He's 70. 68, did Hillary just have a birthday? It was 68 and 70.
Okay. So it's like...
Two 70-year-old candidates.
Like, that is... Like, this is not... The majority of the people who are going to be affected by these policies are not their age.
Yeah, we're still voting for baby boomers.
We are. And that is a big... That there's going to be a big divide. And until... no one's going to feel like they have a personal stake in things until someone starts coming up. You know, that's one of the reasons Obama did so well. You know, he was this young guy in Chicago, and when he started as senator, and everyone was so excited about him because he gave a shit, and he was young, and he knew what it was like to grow up there. And now we have, you know, we end up with distant... You know, people talk about how Hillary is removed and like, you know, oh, she doesn't know what it is. She's a career politician, doesn't know what it's like to be a regular person. Well, fuck if Trump does. Like, Jesus Christ.
He certainly knows less about it than anybody else.
And, yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I haven't even been able to let myself think about what would happen if he wins because I've been able to just like sort of, because I don't want to get another ulcer. So I just kind of don't think about it. But I got to say, I'm kind of afraid for tonight, as it were, and what that's going to mean.
Well, I mean, now that we've solved the 2016 election and answered all the tough problems there, Tim, how many presidential elections have you voted in?
We were counting on this, and I forgot. Is it 11?
I think yours was 9. You started in 88.
I started in 88.
88,
with
92.
88 was...
88 was Bush Sr. versus Dukakis.
Yeah, I think you're at 8.
So, all right, 8. So, yeah, I voted in the Bush thing. I voted...
Bush Dukakis.
Since I've been able to vote, I voted in every election.
So you voted Bush Dukakis, and then... Good. Who did Bush run against that he lost
Clinton.
In 90? Bush Clinton, and then Clinton...
Dole,
and then...
Bush Gore,
and then Bush Kerry. Kerry, and then Obama...
McCain.
And then Obama...
Mitt Romney.
So, and now Clinton.
Trump.
Oh, I've got a couple of rules that I try to follow. I try to make sure that whoever I'm going to vote for is smarter than me. That's kind of an important thing for me. So I feel like about the only time I made... I don't think it was a mistake. I voted for Dukakis. I'm a liberal. I voted for Dukakis. Dukakis was a...
What were you, like 20?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dukakis was a complete... I mean, I look back now, I'm like, no. He was terrible. George Bush Sr. was a Republican. Ideologically, I don't agree with him. I thought I can look at
that, in
look
hindsight, at
him, in, but I can look at him and go, you know what? He made decisions I don't agree with, but as a president, he did what he was supposed to do. He's definitely smarter than me. You know.
Yeah.
So I can accept that. You see, I never felt Reagan was smarter than me. So
he's an actor, Tim.
I couldn't. Well, and I'm an actor, so.
Oh,
well,
I know.
You know. He's an actor, and. He wasn't the politician. His wife was the politician.
Yeah, but I don't think Nancy Reagan was smarter than me either.
She was the one that, honey. I mean, that like pushed him into politics and pushed him into
non-chimp resident. Related work.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the Manchurian.
Well, less chimp related.
The Manchurian
fewer
candidate.
Chimps.
Seriously.
This will be my 5th.
Your first was 2000.
Yeah. Bush Jr. Gore was my first presidential election, was the one that was kind of controversial
contested.
In terms of the results and contested, and the Supreme Court actually picked the president that year. I mean, or that election, technically.
They did.
Yep.
And so that was, and I'll admit that, not that it made a difference because I was in Minnesota, but I voted for Nader that year, being yeah. the idealist 19-year-old that I was. But it didn't affect the outcome of the election as far as, you know, Gore losing.
Or Nader winning.
Or Nader winning, for that matter.
Which was not going to happen.
Yeah, but it was a little, I don't know, a bit of a downer to, like, vote in St. Cloud, because I was at St. Cloud State in the dorms, and then come home that night and hang out with friends, and, like, waking up the next day after kind of partying and having a rough night and being like, oh, all right, who's the president? Or, you know, in mm-hmm. January. And the newspaper being like, we don't fucking know.
Nobody,
It was days.
It was. I feel like it was more than days. I'm remembering it wrong.
It was a week.
It was at least a week. Yeah, it was long.
And ideologically, you can have an ideological split on this, and I get it. But everything I know about that election tells me that if the Supreme Court had allowed the recount to proceed in Florida, Gore would have won. And to me that it's and the Supreme Court voted along ideological lines.
And to be honest, the year 2001 was such a watershed year for this country that I can't imagine what kind of a different trajectory we'd be on and who our two candidates would be this year if Gore had been president when those planes hit the towers.
I know.
And, like, how we would have reacted and what would have happened after that. And then, like, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know if it would have been any different. I mean, I don't know if I don't know if we'd have Trump as a candidate, to be honest, because I don't know if we would have had as much fucking anti-Muslim extremism so quickly.
Would we even have Obama? I mean, you go back to it's like, would Gore have gone into Afghanistan? Almost certainly. Would Gore have gone into Iraq? Almost certainly not.
Because there wouldn't have been fucking devious skulker vizier.
There would be Dick Cheney, friends in the face.
Yeah, Cheney. No Dick Cheney whispering poison in the ear, telling him
the president whispering. Yeah.
What was your first election?
First election was 1996. I was 18, and it was Clinton. What was 96?
Dole.
Clinton Dole.
Oh, yeah. Bob Dole.
Yep, Clinton Dole, and I was so angry at Clinton. I had just come out and I was so mad at Clinton about DOMA that I wouldn't vote for him. I refused. And my mom, at the time my family was all Republicans, which they aren't anymore, mostly because of George W. Bush.
Well done, George.
He pushed even my grandfather, like toward the end of his life, was just disgusted with the way that
he's not around to see things today.
Yeah,
I mean,
he thought it was so shameful the way George W. Smirked when he talked about stuff. Like, he would talk about tragedies, like thousands of people dying. A little smirk. And he just thought he was just so stupid, and it made him so mad that he was so stupid. But they were all on my case because I said I was going to vote Green Party. And my mom was like, I can't believe you're going to do that. And I was like, well, it's that or not vote. And she's like, well, you have to vote. I'm like, well, if I have to vote, then I'm going to vote for Ralph Nader because he's the closest that aligns with my views. This DOMA thing matters a lot to me. And the don't ask, don't tell stuff was happening, too. And he signed that into law. And I was very unhappy. And I knew there was no shot. But at the same time, so it wasn't so much a protest vote as it was 18-year-old me, you know, in that way that you're like, I have to be able to live with myself, you know, and like, and everything. And to be honest, if gay marriage wasn't legal and Hillary Clinton was against it or wishy-washy on the issue, I'd probably throw my damn vote away again. I don't know. Maybe I would, but it's hard to know. It's hard to say because, like, I'm not a one-issue voter, but I'm definitely like a two or three-issue voter.
But I mean, Obama in his first, he was very wishy-washy about gay marriage. Obama was super wishy-washy about same-sex marriage. He was like, well, you know, I don't know. And he's like, he was supportive of homosexuals, but he, you know, when it came to same-sex marriage, he was on the fence. And I mean, that's a politician's game. It's like, you wait.
And I was a lot older when Obama came around. Yeah. And so you start to realize that you know, other things. And the 2000 election really, you know, really shook me on that because I voted for Nader in 2000 as well. I voted for him twice. I voted for him both times because I didn't like Gore. thought he was boring. Didn't like Bush either. But again, living in Minnesota, you're afforded that a lot more.
Turns out Al Gore was hilarious. We just didn't know it until after he got
poor Al Gore. I just feel like whoever was running his campaign and telling him how to act and telling him what to say and telling him what to do just ruined...
You know,
he is a viable candidate. He's a smart guy. He's a clever person. He's personable. Like, he's not as bland as the jokes would have you think, you know, back then. And it, I don't know.
Let's just have a little RIP moment for thinking about how easy it used to be to say something or to do something that would end your political, like your presidential campaign. For example, do you remember how close Bill Clinton came to not getting elected because there was a rumor that at a party in the 60s, someone saw him with a joint?
And he didn't inhale.
And he said he didn't inhale, and that was a huge fucking deal. And, like, remember when, what's his dude? I don't remember his name. The guy that, like, went, excitement?
From Maine. Dean.
Howard Dean. And that like was the end, or the flip flopper.
As opposed to Donald Trump, who still we don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, by the time, maybe the day before this thing goes up, you know, we'll look at the numbers will look solid enough for Hillary that we don't have to worry so much. But you know, we don't know. Donald Trump has done and said an endless string of awful things.
And it's nothing.
Some political correspondent or someone had said, the only way you can have an end to politician's career now is to either catch him with a live boy or a dead girl.
It seems that way. Yep. I mean, there's a thing that a friend of the show, Carr Hagerman, shared with Penn Jillette, who's a libertarian, and I mean, I'm sure he's not voting for Hillary. I'm sure he's voting for Gary Johnson, but so what? And he's talking about Trump, and he points out that he said, you know, I like Trump as a person, but I don't think he'd make a very good president.
Oh, yeah, because he knows him. He was on the Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
And as soon as he did that, as soon as he said that, Trump starts tweeting out horrible insults about Gillette.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's what we're going to get in the Oval Office if Trump becomes president.
How about this? How often does China or Russia or one of these other countries that we're a little bit contentious with say something like, you know, America, blah, 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 and their president, you know, mild insult? Can you imagine? Are they going to take his phone away?
Are they gonna
block him? He's gonna be able to install Twitter whenever he wants, even if there's an aide whose job it is to delete Twitter, take his phone away and delete Twitter every day.
I wonder if like the White House IT person
can just put up a firewall and block
all social media. Well, I mean, there are people that
him.
The Secret Service can tell the president not to do things. Yeah. Like, they can be like, "Oh, sorry, we can't go here because it's a security risk."
That won't stop him. He'll walk into the freaking briefing room and he'll be like, "I just, you know, China just said this, and you know, fuck China in his own Trump way."
I don't want him to win, obviously, but the only upside to him winning is how much he's going to hate being president. Because he doesn't want to be president. He wants fame.
He won't hate it as much as you will.
I think he will, because for example, like something that I didn't even think about until you just said it. When the Secret Service says you can't leave this room because you can't, for hours sometimes, they can just be like, we have an issue and you have to stay in this room. Or you have to do this, and you can't eat whatever you want. There's rules to being the president.
And there are so many things that are like, the president has to do like a presidential address, you know, and the president has to meet with Congress, and the president has to like, and there are time deadlines for those things. And it would be like Trump being like, I don't want to, or I don't feel like it, and that's how we'd get impeached, and that's how we'd end up with a Pence
presidency,
which is worse somehow.
Because he's competent and he would do bad shit.
He's competent and horrible. He's a bad person with a bad moral code.
Trump is just some chaotic neutral idiot, but Pence is a lawful, evil, like, mastermind.
Who hates women. And anybody queer. Even the slightest bit queer.
Yeah.
Like, a hint of queerness. Like, you don't even have to... You can be a... I bet a woman who dresses in men's clothes, who doesn't even identify as anything other than a straight cis female, would probably be like, Pence is like, no thanks. I don't know. Women in pants. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the... I hope Hillary wins because more. I mean, I
want
Trump. I want Trump to lose. It's like, and I do like most of what Hillary stands for. She's not perfect, but I've never had the opportunity to vote for somebody perfect.
Nope.
And I doubt I ever will.
Nope. That's not how politics fucking works.
But I right now I'm just like, I don't give a fuck who you vote for as long as it's not Trump. It's like, if you're like, I can't vote for Hillary, so I guess I'm going to vote for Trump. It's like, no, fucking vote for fucking Gary Johnson.
I talked my dad into that.
Stay home.
Yeah.
We did. Did you finally?
My dad is been a Republican his whole life and always voted Republican. He used to joke that he and my mom would go cancel each other out of the polls. Though with gerrymandering, that's not actually true.
Yeah.
This year, we're at a family dinner type thing, I was mm-hmm. like, you're not, like, I don't care about the rest or whatever, but you're not, like, voting for Trump, right? I mean, right? And he was like, no, I'm just not gonna. I'm gonna write in, like, you know, Optimus Prime or something.
With your Korean son and his Mexican fiance.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, come on, dude.
And so eventually it was like, you know what? Send a message to your party that you want, you know, what you want in a candidate by voting for Gary Johnson. Like, if you're a Republican mm-hmm. who hates Donald Trump, vote for Gary Johnson because.
Yep.
You know, that's a way you can send your yep. party a message to and not vote for Trump and not. If you just can't bring yourself to vote for Hillary Clinton because you're a Republican or whatever, that's, you know.
Well, isn't there something where if a third party candidate gets, like, 10%. Ends up getting over 10% of the national, like, vote, that then next year they get some kind of
they get some federal funding and they can be included in the debates in the next presidential
yeah,
election.
Yeah, man, like, cool. I'm actually all for that.
That's not going to happen because this is coming down to be so close that tons of the people who right now who have been saying for the last couple of months they'll vote Johnson or Stein are starting to migrate back towards Clinton.
Whoever else. That's what always happens.
But I mean, here's the thing: if you're like a Bernie bro. And you're like, fuck it, I'm not going to vote for Hillary Clinton. You can't make me vote for Hillary Clinton. I don't want to say I don't respect that decision. I don't think that's the right way to go about it. But the biggest problem that we have is if you don't go down ticket. If you're like a liberal and you're like, fuck it, let's let the country burn, and you don't vote down ticket.
Yeah.
I mean, like, in Minnesota, we've got a Supreme Court justice who's up, and she's going up against a super right-wing, like, God is the ultimate lawgiver judge, who would be terrible. I don't care what your political perspective is. It's like, the Ten Commandments are not good laws.
Can we at least agree that a 3,000-year-old desert survival guide written, like, not by Americans has anything to do with America's society in 2016? Jesus Christ.
And I mean, that's the thing where it's like you can make a difference. We've got a constitutional amendment that it's like most people are going to be like, well, I don't know what the difference is. And it's basically like, let's appoint a independent panel so legislators mm-hmm. don't give themselves their own pay raises.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I can understand that on the surface, but do you understand the level of bureaucracy you're now introducing?
Yeah.
Do you understand all of the complexity and the fact that you are now making it so there's no other option?
Yeah.
Because it's a constitutional amendment. You put it in the Constitution and you don't get to change it. Whatever it says, you're stuck with.
If it's a fucking disaster, then it's going to be a disaster to get out of.
Yes.
So, quick question. Do you guys have anything, like, any memory that makes a particular election day very memorable? And I ask because I have one. And so I will share mine, but think about it. If you can remember one for a reason. So I have one. 2008.
Yeah.
Obama, right?
Uh-huh.
So not only was it a crazy election year because, you know, new president, no matter what, change of the guard. And everyone's so excited because Obama, like, this is fucking history. Like, we've got a really solid shot at true fucking history being made, right? Like we do this year. Ha! All right, so everyone's all excited. We're at a friend's place. He is grilling because he's a grill guy. He only uses charcoal, and he does, if you've ever seen someone who charcoal grills who knows their shit, they use one of those chimneys. Like, it's a metal cylinder with, like, a release lever, and you fill it with charcoal, and you burn it, and it gets all nice and hot, and then you release it into the thing, and you put the chimney down in the grass. Now, in Minnesota in November, round about dinner time, it gets dark. Yep. So, grill had just, you just out the charcoal, put down the chimney, it's pitch black dark. Maybe I've had some alcohol. It's also unseasonably warm, so I'm wearing just like sneakers and a skirt, bare legs. And in my memory, I am talking to someone, I take a step to the side, and then it feels like something bites me.
Uh-oh.
And I scream and look down and jerk back and realize that I have just touched the entire side of my leg to this chimney. And I had a triangular, I'm going to say about 4 by 6 inch patch of just burnt. Like, it was a third degree burn. It turned brown. It kind of looked
like a stretched Star Trek emblem.
It turned brown. It was awful. It was dead nerves. I didn't get feeling back for about a year in that patch of skin. And I had a scar there until after Obama got elected to a second term. It didn't go away until about 2009.
So you're saying about 2013. We need to burn you tonight.
Yeah. So that's my most memorable election. I will never forget the year Obama got elected. The year we made history, their first black president, and I burned my leg.
So the my first election, actually, the Gore versus Bush 2000 election, like I said, I came back home from voting at the dorms.
Yep.
Which is great. You can do very easily in Minnesota. And came home and hang out with some of my high school buddies. This is a long time ago. I just want to preface that.
Good.
And put just make sure that's plenty disclaimer there for future employers and such. I was a reckless youth. So I brought back some acid. And me and a friend tripped election night after voting.
Nice.
And so we were...
No wonder you woke up and you were like, what? No one's president?
Yeah. So, and every once in a while, we were like walking through Minneapolis, just outside in the cool... smoking and wandering around or whatever. And every once in a while, we'd, like, peek into someplace civilized and be like, election results yet? Oh, nothing yet. And we'd kind of, like, go back in our little tripping brains. And another friend, one of the, like, you know, me and this guy and then our other two friends were, like, the best four friends in high school. Yeah. One of those friends found out that we were tripping without him, and he... IRL defriended us over not sharing acid with him on election night. When he wasn't even there.
Wow.
And so it was this fucked up election. I was on drugs and kind of not like in a sane headspace. And I ended up losing like one of my best friends that night. And it was a really, really, really surreal night.
It was a bad year for Nick and the country.
But it definitely kind of... And I shouldn't have come home from St. Cloud either. Like, I caught a ride home from someone. I didn't drive back.
Yeah.
So it was like the next day or a day or two later, it was like, hey, Mom, can you give me a ride back to St. Cloud? Why the fuck did you come home?
Tim?
The most memorable for me, probably 2008. I take... politics maybe too seriously sometimes, so I have trouble watching the returns.
Just too excited, too nervous.
Yeah, well, if it's like this year, I don't fucking want to watch if Donald Trump is going to get it. It's like I don't want to watch fucking Donald Trump deliver a victory speech if that's what happens.
Well, you're not going to watch him deliver a concession speech either way.
I know.
Oh, I'm so excited.
But if he loses, I want to see what he does. But yeah, I don't want to watch it. So anyway, I'm hoping the polls look good a day before the election, but. When it was 2008, it was really pretty solid that Obama was going to win.
Yeah.
And so there was an election night party at the then home of friends of the show, Christopher Jones and Melissa Kircher.
Yeah.
And so I went there, and we were at the election party all together. And I just remember that moment when they said, "All right, Obama is the next president of the United States." And we all, you know, Chris is like, "All right, well, I want a toast." And we all get our glasses, and it's the toast was, you know, to the next president of the United States. And Chris laughs, and he's like, "Barack Hussein Obama." And we're all like, "Yes,
yeah, motherfuckers."
Just because every other name that you could have said at that time would sound so fucking white,
yep,
and so sucking.
God damn right.
And it was just that moment of realizing that we had done something special.
That's
and
great.
If Hillary Clinton and here's another thing, if Hillary Clinton gets elected, and you know what, even if you're a Trump supporter, and fuck you if you are, I'm sorry if you're a listener and you feel bad because
I said
that.
No, I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad. Stop listening to our show or change your views.
Yeah. Even if you are a Trump supporter, I hope people take a moment if Hillary Clinton wins to just go, "Holy shit, we elected a woman."
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
No matter what you
right
think
after
of
the black guy.
Yeah. No matter
well,
what you think of her,
way with voting and
yep,
land ownership.
It is.
And,
it is.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
No matter what you think of that woman, you gotta feel good about the fact that we managed to get there.
Yep.
Faster than I thought we would.
Just like 16 years from now when we elect our first gay president and it's a Republican. You'd be like, "Oh, it's a Republican, but they're
but
gay."
At least
yep,
he's gay.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
Well, so, when we elect our first Hispanic, if frickin' Ted Cruz was the nominee and he'd won.
He's barely Hispanic.
Well, but he is. But I mean,
I want
still
someone who's Hispanic who doesn't pass. How's that?
Like, well, that's a different. But I mean, still, you got to take a moment to.
That's true.
To
that's fair.
Acknowledge that we have made a step in the right direction.
Yeah. So regardless of the results tonight, you know, whether Hillary Clinton's our president or the apocalypse is nigh, feel free to leave us a comment and let us know what's going on, what your thoughts of the election tonight are. In the meantime, hey, Molly, who do we have five answers from?
We have five answers from Justin Rapella.
Hey, Justin.
That's right.
Friend of the show.
All right. Are you guys ready to ask me some questions?
Question number one, what is a movie you will stop and watch anytime it is on?
I wish Drop Dead Gorgeous aired as often as all of those awful syndicated sitcoms, but it's probably good that it's not. I would never leave the couch. Word to that. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
I love Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Of the selection of movies that actually appear on TV, I can never resist sitting through A League of Their Own.
Oh, yeah.
And I honestly don't even know why. I don't like sports, it's incredibly cheesy, and it has dubbing so poorly done that I actually get angry watching the present day scenes.
Huh.
But I can't stop myself from watching. I was 9 years old when it was released, and I think it just hits me with a perfectly balanced level of childhood nostalgia. Plus, Rosie O'Donnell and Madonna.
Yeah, Tom Hanks.
I like baseball movies, even though I don't care to watch baseball at all.
Major League is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Major League is awesome.
Major League is a great movie.
Yeah. Question number two, what's your geekiest or most prized possession?
I consider myself a movie geek, and one of my most prized possessions reflects that. My collection of movie ticket stubs.
Oh.
I've kept the stub for every movie for which I've gotten a physical ticket since 1999.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I wish the inaugural stub was for something impressive or significant, but it's for American Pie, sadly. I have more than I can count. I'm glad I chose to hoard something small that can be stored compactly. That's amazing.
Your amazing collection starts with pie fucking.
Hey, there's a hot chick in that movie.
There's a couple of hot chicks in that movie.
Yeah.
All right, question number three. What supernatural or mythical being do you wish was real?
Well, I've always really been a geek. It wasn't until Joss Whedon started providing my teenage entertainment that I really started wearing geek as an identity and diving into geek culture. So I'm going to choose someone from the Whedonverse. All right, here we go. Krevlorn Swath of the Deathwalk clan, or as he's more commonly referred to, Lorne, is a green horned, peace-loving demon from a Hell dimension called Pylea. He appears on the show Angel as a guest star, and then later as a series regular.
Oh.
His main powers include aura reading, empathic telepathy, lie detection, and precognition. However, he can only use these powers when the subject is either singing or in extreme emotional distress. To better use these powers and serve his community, he opens a karaoke bar where he can offer guidance to any creature who needs it. Lauren is one of the most honorable supernatural beings I can think of. He is dedicated to pacifism and insists on helping anyone who needs it, whether they are good, evil, or morally ambiguous. He consistently puts others before himself. He can be decapitated and still live, which is pretty badass.
That is badass.
And he inspired my love for the Seabreeze, a vodka grapefruit cranberry cocktail he often orders on screen. On top of that, he's the closest thing to an openly queer male character that Whedon ever showed me in his TV shows. I wish he were real so I could work for an organization run by him that insists on helping everyone without exception. Also, we'd be best friends. Obviously.
I totally forgot about Lauren, and now I have something to super look forward to when we get to Angel.
That's exciting. By the way, yeah, we are currently watching Buffy. Me for the first time, Nick for the
second.
So I'm excited. I'll get to meet Lauren soon.
That's probably going to be a boner
Not even nearly soon.
So with that character, then, I would assume he'd kind of fall into the lawful neutral since he helps everybody equal.
Chaotic good.
Neutral good,
because he doesn't care about the law.
Well, no, he has a code. And his bar being like a neutral ground is really important and really
like McAnally
enforced.
would be neutral good.
So enforcing rule and
as
peace
a pacifist,
is law.
Yeah. As a pacifist, he'd think he'd fall into more good than neutral.
Yeah.
Pacifism isn't innately good.
This is exciting.
Mean, not hurting people is good.
Oh, well, anyway, yeah. so that could take us hours.
Yeah, that's awesome. I thank you for the reminder that Lauren exists, Justin. That is fantastic. Question number 4 is, say religion is gone, what is the biggest problem humanity now faces?
Whether it's racism or nationalism or any other ism, if religion suddenly ceased to exist, we would just find some other arbitrary reason to create us versus them schisms and apply the same style and level of violence and hate that we experience with religion today. So I don't know exactly which schism we'd choose as our biggest and bloodiest focus, but I do know that it wouldn't be a thing that actually matters, because that's what we do.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's great.
That is fair. Question number 5, what is your favorite quote?
In an essay on anarchism, Emma Goldman said, "The most violent element in society is ignorance." I don't think this could be more true. We live in a very violent world. Information, understanding, and the removal of blinders are our greatest weapons. Thank you, Justin Rapella.
Thanks, Justin.
That was great, yeah. Justin.
If you want to answer our 5 questions, please send your answers to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. We're running low on them, so we could really use them. If you are shy, don't be. We can use a fake name if you want or whatever. We would just love to have some more of those for coming up recordings.
It's true.
Like I said earlier, if you have any strong feelings about this election, and who could have strong feelings about this election, please leave us a comment either on Facebook or at geekswithoutgod.com on this episode posting, just to let us know what's up and keep the conversation going. If we said anything blatantly pants on head stupid or that you just disagree with, we'd love to hear that too, because we love to argue and to revise our ideas and replace them with improved ideas. And you can be a part of that process. If you are listening to this episode early because you're a Patreon supporter, kudos and thank you. And don't worry, you can re-listen to it on Election Day to recapture that magic. Otherwise, follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, or scratch that and reverse it. And we'll see you next week.
Hi Nick, my name is Tina. I'm calling from the Church of Scientology in Twin Cities. I see that about a year ago you
were geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority, we don't accept divine superiority, we're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
I just waved at the microphone.
Yeah, I know.